How's everything going for you, Kaylee? How's everything going?
It's been good. It's obviously a weird time right now, trying to stay as busy as possible with just so much unknown going on. So it's just a weird situation to be in, obviously. I think all of us are kind of feeling it in different ways. Obviously, the most important thing is that everyone's safe and healthy.
Right.
But just weird. I mean, just trying to go about our daily business, trying to create things, but
sure.
We don't know what's happening, so it makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah, it's a lot of unknown right now. We're all basically at the mercy of the coronavirus right now because we don't know what's taking like day by day.
Exactly.
Like, it's crazy right now. So it's good. Everyone's healthy with you and your family.
Everyone's healthy. Yeah, I'm from Connecticut, so I'm down in Houston still. My sisters and my mom are in Connecticut. My dad actually happened to be on a work trip like right before all this started to happen, and he's been stuck in L.A. for about 5 weeks now. So it's just crazy. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, just trying to stay busy. I miss covering the game. I know you do. You cover the Rockets and a lot of other things. So
yeah.
I know you miss it. Yes, I miss covering the NBA G League and some NBA covers. I miss it so much. You never know what you have till it's gone.
Exactly. No, it's true.
But you come from a family of athletes. Your mom played basketball, your sister, your dad played some football.
Yep. So I grew up playing basketball my whole life, and came down for me to decide what I wanted to do. And I knew this was a path I wanted to go down, getting into sports broadcasting. And, you know, a lot of athletes go down that path as well. But for me, I had reached the point where I was like, you know what, I don't want to commit my whole college career to it. I want to go and enjoy college too and take in everything I can. And it allowed me to have a lot of opportunities, you know, outside of sports as well, to study abroad and have internships and stuff like that, which you just can't have when you're, I mean, watching my sister play Division III basketball, she had no time just playing Division III. Her whole college was just dedicated to playing. So I just knew I had other things that I had wanted to do as well, which was big for me.
So you play basketball that helped you transition to carving the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, basketball, I grew up around the game. I was playing it my whole life, and I just love basketball so much. And for me, it was an easy transition because when you know the game too, I think it obviously helps when you're covering it. You can relate to the players in a different way. I think a lot of my credibility with these players comes from just the conversations we're able to have about the game of basketball. When we're in the locker room and you're talking post-game and they've got film going on and you're able to have a side conversation about what's going on, you show them your knowledge of the game, and I think that just helps build their respect even more.
Right. And your career resume is seasoned and impressive. You've worked with some major networks in your career. You cover the Cavs, the Spurs. You got to work around legendary coach for the
Spurs. I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So you covered the Spurs and the Cavs. How was it covering the Cavs?
It was good. I mean, certainly I bounced around a little bit, not per se by my first choice, but just the way things have fallen in line for me. The last season with Fox Sports Ohio and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I really enjoyed it. It was a different season for them because they were coming off of all that success with LeBron James and him going to the Lakers, and so it was a totally different team. And I had come from the Spurs where everything had kind of fallen in line, and I had been there to see Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and this lineage of Hall of Famers come through and a system led by Coach Popovich, and then to go to the Cavs, which were kind of in a totally new situation. They had a new coach, interim coach in Larry Drew. You know, they still had Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, but they were starting to have all these new younger players come in. So it was a learning curve, I think, for everybody, but it was fun to be a part of that too, because it was just a totally different dynamic. And they had a sense of playing eagerly. They were just trying to learn each other and build a camaraderie. So it was a different sort of environment to be in, but you could tell that they're excited still. They were enjoying playing the game, and they're obviously still continuing that rebuild now. So it's been good for me to experience that, and I think last year I got to experience a totally different side of the NBA in terms of being with a team that was starting to go through that rebuilding process and what it looks like from the inside of having to, you know, acquire these new players and start building around these young core pieces.
Yeah, when it comes to an MVP of a team, when it comes to the Cavs, one cannot think about LeBron James. So when he comes and goes, winning and losing goes with him. We all know what happened when he left the first time, when he came back, he won the championship. He left the game and went back to the lottery. LeBron is the MVP of the – it's crazy how important he is to that team. But
every team he goes to, it's just amazing. You know, I think everyone's kind of sitting on pins and needles waiting to see what happens with the season, hoping that we're able to come back. But what he's been able to do with the Lakers this year has been incredible, pairing up with Anthony Davis. So we're starting to see that, you know, he's 35 and he still could be the MVP of the league year in and year out. He's just incredible. And every team he's gone to, he has been an impact. He's been an MVP essentially everywhere he's been.
Yes, he has. Yes, this is a good year for the Lakers. This might be one of their best chances with LeBron coming off the losing season last year because he had an injury and didn't miss the playoffs last year. So
right.
This is a good chance for them to win the championship this year. If this season doesn't have a champion, this might be one of the best years that the Lakers might miss out on because it's unknown for next season. We all know Kevin Durant coming back with Kyrie, and they're going to be an instant problem next year. So.
And that's what I feel like every time I've watched any of the sports news on any channel, when they start talking about the NBA and if it's coming back, if it's not coming back, everyone kind of alludes to, you know, this will probably be LeBron's best chance moving forward to have a championship. I mean, they had a solid lead before the pause in the NBA in the Western Conference. Of course, you know, the Bucks have been red hot since the start of the season. I feel like nobody's giving them enough credit. And they are playing incredible basketball as well. But like you said, with the injuries, with Steph and Clay out, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie out, all those guys are going to be healthy next season. So LeBron's best chance, I'm not saying it's his only chance, his probably best chance, though, would have been this year. It'll be a totally different story next season when all of these teams get their players healthy and back in action.
Definitely. I definitely agree with you. This coronavirus has made us all realize how much we missed the game. When and if the game comes back this season, what, in your opinion, does the NBA need to implement before it comes back? Because we all know fans want to be safe, and of course the NBA wants fans to be safe because they're talking about bringing the game back without fans first. But overall, what would you like to see laid out before the game continues?
I mean, obviously, there's just so much unknown still with this coronavirus. We're learning new things about it every single day, and I think that's what kind of makes it a little bit scary is it seems like every day something new comes out about the virus, how it's just, I think, amazing to me is how in each person it seems to react differently. You have people that are asymptomatic, and then you have people who have these aggressive symptoms early on and get so sick, and I think that's the scariest part. So I think learning as much as possible about the virus before they decide to come back. And I think the NBA and Adam Silver have done an incredible job of taking the right precautions. I know that they're looking into all situations. They're watching what other countries are doing with their sports. I think, you know, the most important thing is going to be to make sure that the country first has enough tests before they can bring sports back, because if they bring sports back, they're going to have to test these athletes, the coaching staff, all the time to make sure these people around the players are constantly safe and healthy. And the country right now doesn't even have enough tests for. So before, we have to make sure the country is in a place where they have enough testing. And then once I think that happens, there's probably going to be more of the ability for the league to come back in that sense. But I think everything I've heard is the NBA is just monitoring all the situations. No decision is going to be made moving forward until the start of May, at least. They're just kind of reevaluating what the country is doing, where the country stands. And, you know, every day we're kind of, I think, different parts of the country are hitting their peaks now. So I try to pay attention to as much as possible of what's going on around the country, where there seems to be cases decreasing. But it's it's kind of one of those situations where it's just so much unknown and we've never experienced something like this. So
yeah.
I think they're going to take every extra precaution in this case, because you can't be the league that rushes back and God forbid something bad happens, someone gets sick. You just don't want that either. So.
Yeah, because if someone does, get sick in the middle of playing, then they got to quarantine the whole team.
Right.
The team that they played, and everything shuts back down again.
Exactly. And I think that was the biggest thing when the league shut down that first night. It was so crazy.
Yeah.
You had just played the night before. And everything was rushing through your head like, okay, wow, Rudy Gobert has it. Who else on the team has it? And then you're thinking about the staff, and I'm thinking about, okay, wow, we've been on planes in the last week three different times. Who knows how fast it's spreading. If one of our players or staff has it, I'm around the players and the staff.
Right.
A team throughout an organization, and it's really kind of crazy to think about. So I think, the NBA is going to take every precaution to make sure everyone involved, the fans, the players, the staff, everyone is safe first.
Yeah, and they put together a horse tournament this past weekend trying to get the fans something to watch.
Right.
I think they did a good job. I think the video quality could have been better, but it wasn't being transmitted over regular NBA.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, everyone's kind of digging for something to watch, especially sports. And I think it's funny that so many people realize how much they rely on sports, and sports kind of dictate their calendars and what they're watching, because you want to play at home to watch a certain game, going to a game, or us working in sports. But, it gave us something to watch. I think, obviously, it's hard when you're relying on cell phone footage right now and the Wi-Fi in different houses, and you could see the different weather. Conley's in his indoor gym, but got Paul Pierce in a jacket and gloves, so you can tell that the weather was playing a role a little bit. But, it's funny because we'd be heading into the last week of the regular season right now, and the playoffs would be starting this weekend, so I think everyone's itching for any sort of sports.
Definitely. Russell Westbrook, you've seen his transition to the Rockets firsthand. We all know Russell Westbrook said he's going to go. How has his transition helped the Rockets?
He totally changed the style of play for the Rockets this season. He plays with such speed. That's what he's known for, how quick he is on the floor. He can get up and down the court in about 4 seconds. It's incredible. And the Rockets last year played with one of the slowest paces in the NBA. And this year they played with either the highest or the second highest consistently all season long. And that's because of Russell. He has just changed the dynamic and style of how they play. He pushes the pace. He can get in the lane, and it's really allowed them to play this small ball because he takes advantage of the spacing. He can cut through the lane. And the way the Rockets play, they rely on their three-point shooter. So if he's in the lane, he can either take it all away or dish it out to the shooters out on the wing. So he has created a different style of play for them. But as the season's progressed, he's gotten more and more comfortable. He's finding his own way. And him and James have continued to build their relationship on the floor. They have such a strong relationship off the court as friends. And we're seeing it as the season progressed, how much more comfortable they got with each other on the court, finding each other. I have asked them multiple times, what the advantage is for the Rockets having an MVP on the floor at all times, because at all times for the Rockets, either they're both on the floor or one or the other's on the floor. And they said it's invaluable because, any time you're playing a team, you've got an MVP caliber player on the floor. That changes things. Not every team can say that, but they have either one or two of them on the floor at all times, and they attack and create in different ways, but they're both so dangerous. And it's something that I definitely hope we get to see again for the years up, but we are, it's been a lot of fun to watch so far, and definitely anxious for them to get back on the floor together again.
Yeah, I was surprised a little when they moved on from Capella and they totally went all in on small ball, but I understand. Well, we don't know what they're trying to get past Golden State, but I think last year when they lost to Golden State and the injury happened to CP3, I think that was a gut punch, meaning they really knew they had a chance to take out Golden State. But because Harden and Capella had to pick and roll. That was like money. Like, no one could really stop that. It was crazy.
They did. They really did. And that was what made Clint so great in the Rockets offense is he is a slasher. He is so good on the move. And he's not necessarily one of those back-to-the-basket bigs. He enjoys running, and it made it so dangerous because he fit perfectly with what the Rockets were doing. Clint was such a great guy, too. Easy to work with. One of the best I've had a chance to work with, and I wish him all the best in Atlanta. I know he's going to have a lot of success. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch him with Trae Young. But the Rockets went all in on small ball. They love Robert Covington. He's been a great addition for them.
Another shooter.
Yeah, another shooter, but he guards, he defends incredibly well. He's comfortable playing the four defensively in particular, and that is perfect for what the Rockets are looking for right now, and he's done a great job. His defensive numbers have skyrocketed since joining the Rockets, and then P.J. Tucker has been one of those guys who's been comfortable in whatever situation he's thrown into, and he is one that pokes fun at the situation because he knows people are joking about how he is the center for this team, but he enjoys the challenge and he's a scrappy guy that does everything. And between him and Covington defending the four and the five, they've found ways defensively to trap and to collapse on players, and they've made it difficult. So, you know, the team has had its ups and downs with the small ball, but it's going to take some time to figure it out. It was something that was put together after the All-Star break. So they hadn't had a lot of time to build around each other yet, but confident that this group was, if any group was going to figure it out, it was going to be this group.
Yeah. Can you speak on Austin Rivers' contribution to the Rockets? Because, you know, he's like instant offense. He's like, he could be a legit third option.
Austin is so important to this team, and it's funny because with all the movement, he sometimes slides down the bench, but every time his number is called, he's ready to go, and he is. He's a bucket almost every time he touches. He gets on the floor, and there was a moment, a stretch this season where he seemed to struggle, and then I think we were in Utah. I want to say it was right before the All-Star break, and he just flipped a switch, and he was incredible. And he was anytime he came into the game, he was averaging around 15 points right off the bench. And I asked him about it. I was like, Austin, you know, you went through this stretch where you struggled a little bit, and all of a sudden you've been a different guy. What's been the difference? And he had sat out probably 3 or 4 games with an injury, and he said, you know, I took that time to reflect on myself, and I said, you know, I can't worry about what everyone else is doing or saying. I just need to go out there and control what I can control and play my game. And it made all the difference for him. And since then, he literally would impact the game every single time he touched the floor. He's a great guy. He's a great player and a great teammate. And he really had become so important for this Rockets team off the bench. They relied on his contributions each night.
Right. Seeing James Harden up close and personal, the NBA's leading scorer, averaging like 34 a game right now. Can you speak on his work ethic that you can that you notice? It seems like he just, every day he goes 100%.
He does. He goes 100% every single day. And it's the hours that people don't see that he doesn't necessarily get enough credit for. He is a gym rat, and he takes so much pride in the amount of work he puts in. I have to say, coming from different organizations before coming here, you know, you see the numbers and you think they're really impressive. And but seeing it on a nightly basis, watching him do what he does every single night, you have a totally different appreciation for how incredible it is. Because I think people sometimes take it for granted what he's doing. And I hear people sometimes saying that, but when I got here and I watched him put on a show every single night and the numbers he's put up and what he's been able to do, it's totally underappreciated. He is a master at his craft, and it goes without saying that it's because he puts in the work, and he takes so much pride in that, and he wants people to understand that it's not just a talent. It is a talent, but it's the work that he puts in every off season, every day off,
right.
for the game. He takes so much pride in it. I've seen him. I've come off the floor after a game, and I'm getting ready to go into locker room, and he's in the hallway getting in some extra work, just stretching and getting some lifts in really quick after, just to keep his body fresh. He
yeah.
takes it so seriously, and it's incredible. To watch it in person every night, I feel incredibly lucky, because I know a lot of people would love to be in my shoes, and it really is amazing to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you saying he's taken for granted, because a lot of attention I know Harden gets is because of the moves that he implements into his game. A lot of people argue, is it a travel or not, instead of looking at the craft that he puts on the floor leading the Rockets every night.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
that gets more attention than what he's doing for the team.
100%, and I totally agree with you. I think I've witnessed it more now working for the Rockets and seeing the backlash he sometimes gets. It's always
yeah.
it seems to be negative, which coming from working with him daily and watching him every night, it's definitely
yeah.
not something he deserves. He puts in so much work. He's so talented. And the thing is, you hear NBA players talking about it a lot, and coaches in the NBA talking about it a lot, and they all have tremendous respect for him and his game and how he's been able to go about his business. So
right.
it's usually the talking heads on Twitter, honestly, that have stuff to say about it. But it's
yeah.
when you talk to the NBA players and the coaches who observe him and
yeah.
have to scheme for him on a nightly basis, trying to figure out defensively how they can slow him down. They have the appreciation for what he does. And at the end of the day, that is most important, because the people
yeah.
that really understand the game and what he's doing have complete respect for him.
Exactly. He's on a different level, and those on his level understand what he's doing completely. That's what matters, like you just said.
Yeah, it, for sure.
What do you think about the job Daryl Morey's doing? He seems to love you. Just recently interviewed him, right? He seems
yes.
like a fun guy. He seems like he seems
Daryl's
fun.
Great. Yes, I just interviewed him last night. I actually got a little update from him. We've been trying to check in with some of our staff, and
right.
In the meantime, Daryl's been great since the first day I met him. You know, he's a genius, he's a whiz, and he relies on analytics, and he is the mastermind behind the analytics start here in the NBA, really. And you know, him and Coach D'Antoni really
right.
got this small ball going. And so he's not afraid to take risks. He's not afraid to make moves. And I have a lot of respect for him for doing that. He is just someone who really likes to break down the numbers and see what's working, what's not working, you know, but
right.
he also has a total respect for the game. Last night, someone asked if he thought that the mid-range game would phase out. And he said, no, he said, I mean, obviously they rely on the three ball a lot here in Houston. There's a focus on that, but he said the mid-range game is still such an important part of the game, and it's not going to
yeah.
phase out completely. So his understanding and knowledge of the game, but also his knowledge of the analytics side is very unique, and I think it's really fun to listen to him and to watch what he's able to construct in terms
right.
of players he puts together.
Yeah, before this hiatus came upon us, the Rockets were tied for fifth with the OKC Thunder. With CP3 has surprised a lot of people by having them fifth in the West. I was wondering if they would be, Thunder would be like a real problem right now, but he proved us, well, he proved me wrong. But the Rockets are tied for fifth in the West right now. Well, yeah, they're still tied for fifth in the West right now. What do you think about that? They would play the 6-3. They would play the Nuggets if the playoffs started. That would
yeah.
be interesting. That would be an interesting matchup.
We have a really interesting matchup. We played the Nuggets. I think we finished the season series. The Nuggets held a 2-1 advantage on us. It'll be a really interesting series. Jokic is incredibly talented. He's a big man that's very skilled. He's given us some trouble, but at the same time, I think we haven't played the Nuggets with a small ball lineup. It'll be,
right.
be really interesting to see that, because I think the speed that we have now with the small could give the Nuggets some trouble.
Right.
They rely heavily on their bigs. And I think just the way we would change the pace of the game, because
yeah.
we would rely on playing small, could give them some problems. I think it would be a really fun matchup.
Right.
Hopefully we get to see it at some point this season.
Yeah.
I know we're all kind of home for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it would be definitely challenging for both sides in different ways, but it would be fun to see, because we hadn't had the chance to play the Nuggets with this different lineup that we have now.
Yeah, a lot of people get hooked on the Rockets playing small ball, but they overlook the fact that the Rockets can rebound. And, you know, especially with Westbrook, you know, we average a triple-double. So they do, as they do, rebound the ball, which is very important. So
and their rebounding numbers went down when they started playing small. But, you know, Coach D'Antoni challenged them to be better when it comes to rebounding. And Russ took it upon himself. He said, you know, he'd kind of gotten away from that aspect of his game. And he said, that's my bread and butter as well. You know, I pride myself at being the best rebounder when it comes to guards. And I had gotten away from that. And so he, the next game came out and I think he had like 12 or 13 rebounds, something like that, something crazy where, you know, he really was like, you know what? I'm just going to go get them. I'm going to go do it. So when it comes down to it, the Rockets definitely have the ability. They have one of the best rebounding guards. And, you know, a lot of the guys on this team, though, they might not have the height, but they have really solid bodies, and they can battle inside with a lot of players. So it'll be a challenge, but I think they would certainly be up for that challenge.
Who's the guy that, who's the locker room guy for the Rockets? Like who's the leader? Who gets the guys going?
I would say Russell Westbrook is a leader that you can see vocally on the floor, and you see his mean demeanor a lot of the times when he's out there on the floor, but he is a guy that the players go to look to. But one of the main locker room guys that you might be surprised to hear is Tyson Chandler. And
Tyson's okay.
He's not a player who obviously spends a lot of time in our lineup, especially since we've gone small. He's obviously been in the league, I think, 19 years now. So he's an experienced vet. He's gone through it all. He's won an NBA championship. And he's become a guy in the locker room that is talking these guys up. He's leading on the bench. He's in the locker room, getting guys amped up, going through plays with them. He is somebody who takes a lot of pride in his position. And right now that is being a vocal leader for this group. You know, I think Tyson is probably nearing the end of his NBA career, and he knows his role on this team, and he's taking it very seriously. And the players rely on Tyson a lot for that leadership. Coach D'Antoni, especially before we were getting to that towards the suspension of the league, was saying how important Tyson has become for this team as a vocal leader because he has that experience. So he can be the one that players go to look to when it comes to how you handle certain situations.
Yeah, Tyson death brings experience, and the experience, and every team needs that. Every team
Definitely.
Needs that. Yeah, recently the CBA just postponed their season to at least July. The NBA and other leagues are looking at that to see if they can bring their league back or start to play. So we got a long way to go. I don't know if people can see basketball right now.
I know. We've been
really
looking. I feel like I have updates on everything, and I'm trying to read everything and, of course, be as educated as possible. So you look at every scenario and you're trying to read into it and what it is. And, you know, the CBA, there's different reasons, I think. You know, some of it is because they've had suspended travel, so players can't get over there. I just read today that Florida opened up. They said that professional sports is an essential job, which is really interesting because to compare professional sports to grocery stores and
healthcare,
doesn't seem like an essential part of that. But you know, Adam Silver, like I said before, and the NBA have done an incredible job of being at the forefront of handling the situation, suspending the season immediately, which kind of led to each other league following suit. I know and trust that they are going to take in all the information from the healthcare officials and watch what the world is doing in terms of sports before they make a decision. Because, like I said, you don't want to be the sport that rushes back and, God forbid, something happens. You just can't have that. So he's done a great job since the beginning, and I'm sure he will make the proper decisions moving forward.
Yes, Adam Silver has done a tremendous great job. I have to agree with you on that. He's done a great job keeping everyone informed by making that strong decision to stop the league when he did. Because it's a good thing he did it when he did, because after like a week later, maybe not even that, like it started coming out, other players had it. We all know first Gobert, then Donovan Mitchell, then Lake players from the Lakers, and like a domino effect.
And it showed that it obviously had spread way before any of that had suspended. I think one of the crazier things was when Doris Burke came out and said she had it because she was calling that Dallas-Denver game on ESPN when it was all happening in Utah OKC. And so obviously they you know, were taking it in from what was happening in another game, but meanwhile she was suffering symptoms already. So you see that the spread already through the country was happening,
yes.
And no one was even really aware of how serious it was yet. So, you know, he made the decision as soon as he had a player confirmed, and I think that's the only thing you can do, because we had no idea how serious at that time it had
right.
spread throughout the country. We were just seeing the cases really in Washington and maybe a handful in New York or wherever it
yeah.
be. But clearly it had already spread so far. So, yeah, it's going to be just something that, you know, as the country continues to battle this, you watch how the cases are settling down in different places before making
yeah.
a decision.
Yeah, we're all waiting on the go. we all miss it, but we all know what's more important, first of all. So, Kaylee, thank you so much for joining. You're going to do this again when you're available. I enjoyed this. Thank you so much for joining on MMA Town.
Oh, John, thank you so much for having me. It's all fancy you again.
Yes. Be safe and talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.